used to read Wizard magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 246. Adam is trying to add sound effects to the podcast. So it's the post-Halloween, first podcast of November.
Scurvy.
Adam might have scurvy.
Scurvy.
What?
Nobody has scurvy, Colin.
Okay, you sure?
We all eat limes.
Okay. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Everybody's here! And you could be here, too, if you wanted to join in. So we have room.
There are chairs. Bigger tables.
Yep.
We still have to share one microphone, though.
Yeah.
It's
but
gross.
But it works. I've looked into getting more, but it gets real complicated real quickly.
So far, Colin has not smacked anyone on the behind, so that's a plus. There was
threats, but he did call Adam Poppy, which is kind of disturbing.
We need an adult here.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, but that would make it less fun.
We have a retiree sitting here. What more of an adult do we need?
Adam was wearing his finest.
I'm wearing lobster socks.
Florida retirement home casual outfit. Wear. Yeah,
I'm wearing their socks.
Yeah,
and
you're wearing Vans with nice high dark blue socks and shorts. So it's a look.
It's okay.
And a pajama top.
Could be like a
and your backwards
shirt.
Hat.
It's for comics,
but it's a backwards old man hat. It's not like
yeah,
a
that's true.
Cap.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Get with it, Colin.
You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. It is an old man hat. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, not with you. With whatever.
Breaking news: Adam dresses like an old man.
No, Jermaine's texting.
Why?
He's interrupting the podcast.
Is he sabotaging?
Does he know that Dave's not talking yet?
No. He's saying Doom Patrol confused him, but.
No.
Okay.
So
did you say
in other news, the sky is up and the ground is down?
There's crime in Gotham.
There is.
Okay. But wait, now we got to go to Pat's news.
Why did you look at me intently when you said "but"?
No. We have a new theme song for Pat's news. So now. Pat's news.
That wasn't as exciting.
No.
It was gonna be fun.
Pat S news.
Yeah, no.
You can't stop it, can you?
You just want to play for 10 minutes now?
No.
Okay.
At the end, you go. Any questions?
He's out of control.
He is.
Too much sugar. Way too much sugar today.
Yeah.
What?
So it's all that candy.
Yeah.
Okay, so the only real thing I got, and this is sad, that I didn't see much news this week, but the director for The Flash has left.
Yeah.
The Flash. This is not the first time it's happened.
In a flash. Moving on.
Yeah. So now the rumor is it's going to push the start date off, and it might delay The Flash or whatever, but...
Should I play music between each story?
No.
No, that would be obnoxious.
No. Yeah, but, you know, kind of the same thing happened with Ant-Man a few years ago, where deep into pre-production, Edgar Wright left. So.
And with Ant-Man, Thor...
Deadpool?
Wonder Woman, Deadpool, now.
Yeah. There's been a few of these.
Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman Thor one is funny because the directors switched. Wonder Woman's director went to Thor, and Thor's director came to Wonder Woman.
Crazy.
It was crazy.
Madness.
Are you playing Angry Birds?
I am.
Wow. Was this like 2005?
Adam dresses like an old man one day and you become like a teenager.
See, I'm de-aging.
No.
I wouldn't go that far.
But you'll be here a while. Yeah, that's all I got.
Ernie, you guys going to go see Doctor Strange this weekend?
Probably.
Yes.
Yes. At some point, yeah.
I did hear that the Wonder Woman trailer is going to be attached to that.
It's supposed to be released tomorrow.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. That's what I heard.
I'm looking forward to for that trailer. As much as I will talk crap on the trailers and teasers, and when they do it too many times, like with the Star Wars stuff and Batman vs Superman, I guess. This one, like, I feel like they haven't done a ton. Like, they haven't overdone it. So,
no, I mean, we got the one that came out during San Diego. It didn't really give a lot away.
No.
It
looked good. That trailer. I really want this movie to do well.
Yeah.
I really want these.
They need a win.
DC movies to get a win.
And even though, you know, they've made money, but
what?
Doctor Strange not a DC movie.
Wonder Woman.
We're talking about Wonder Woman. Woman.
Okay. I could have sworn you were talking about.
We started with Doctor Strange and then talked about the Wonder Woman trailer being attached. And then
okay. I'm sorry.
Just keep shooting your birds.
I will.
Take that how you will.
No, but
keep flipping the birds.
You're good at that.
You know, DC does need a win. Although, you know, Suicide Squad, as much as people were, you know, panned it or critics panned it, it made a lot of money.
They're making a lot now, but I don't think if their movies keep coming out and keep getting panned, I don't think the sequels are going to generate the same interest or money the first ones did.
That's a possibility.
But I think people are going now because it's the first time seeing these characters on screen.
It's in my head.
But I think once that initial, you know, interest dies off, and if the content isn't carrying the, or if the story isn't carrying the crowd, I don't think it's gonna work out. So hopefully this gets it back on track. Hopefully Zack Snyder is going with what he says, and Justice League will be a, you know, much different story than BVS.
Yeah. Although, you know, and who knows what'll happen. I am disappointed that Green Lantern is not going to be a part of it. And, you know, they...
That is surprising.
You can't blame the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie as the reason why Green Lantern is not a part of the Justice League.
Hasn't it been long enough?
I would think.
I mean, we have a new Batman already, and that movie came out in between those Batman films.
Yeah.
So, it's time to move on.
I still say that movie's not as bad as people make it out to be.
Yeah. No, it had problems.
I had an issue with the director.
I liked him, though. I liked him as the...
Oh, he was fine as Hal Jordan.
He was fine as Hal Jordan. I love Sinestro.
I think the villains...
Mark Strong was a perfect... Sinestro, like, look at you just walked right out of the pages.
The stuff on Ella, I thought was fine. Mm. It was the Hector Hammond stuff.
Michael Clark Duncan was a great Kilowog.
Yeah, it was straight up the stuff with Hector Hammond and the stuff with Parallax made no sense.
Merging all that stuff together in the one
Parallax. And what it seems like is...
They made Amanda Waller a scientist.
Yeah, they did.
Which is weird.
Yeah. But even though I kind of relate that to the whole Hector Hammond subplot and all that. It was just a reason to kind of cram her in there.
Yeah.
I just didn't see it. Like, with the villains, I didn't see a point of merging three of them together when, you know, you want to use those later on. Like, if you're going to use... Like, you had Sinestro, you had Parallax, you had Hector Hammond, you had Kronos. Because that's who they made Parallax into, basically.
Yeah. Well, but that's just...
Made him into a guardian.
Yeah, but you could have taken Parallax, you know... You can use Parallax and Sinestro together, so that kind of makes sense. You know, have that be kind of the origin of the Yellow Ring.
I think Parallax should a story with Parallax should happen a little later on in the film franchise, and I think Hector Hammond is a good one to use. I guess, but, I mean, they used it for that Secret Origin story that they did, where that was like his first thing he did, that Geoff Johns book.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use him as more of an Earth level threat. Until he goes out more in the space or something like that. But, yeah, throwing them all in there was too much. The director's cut was really a problem, too, because they shouldn't have brought it out as a director's cut because a lot of that stuff should have been cut. Because when watching it, the telling of his origin of, like, what happened to his dad was told twice in the film. They cut it out both times. Like, it was once in, like, his own little dream sequence that he was having, and then they showed it a little later on. again.
Yeah, I know there was a part like, where they showed it.
This is boring. Like, okay, I get it. His dad died. Like, get move on with the story here.
So did Batman's dad. Yeah, he doesn't brood. They all do. Oh, wait.
Have they announced who is going to be playing the Green Lantern in, or Green Lanterns in the new
movie? I mean, they really haven't even announced which Green Lanterns it's going to be at this point.
Where Marvel is incredibly fast with bringing everything out, like, way early, DC is incredibly slow.
Yes and no.
No,
I mean, look how long
we knew
it took
about Cyborg, we knew who was going to play the Flash.
Look how long it took Marvel to say anything about Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
But, like, they brought out, like, the Suicide Squad stuff, and it took so long until the movie actually came out from when they originally
Yeah, but I feel like
that.
We got information about it very quickly.
Yeah, I guess we did get a lot of information from it, yeah.
But that was also because the trailer leaked out of San Diego.
Well, yeah.
But even before that, I feel like we knew who was going to be in it and who were playing the parts very quickly.
But we haven't heard a lot about, like, they had that whole thing where they did, like, kind of a Marvel where they put everything down, like, this is this movie and this, and then we heard of what, two? Well, three with Wonder Woman.
I feel like the movie that they need to release soon, which they're not, is the Shazam movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that movie would
You think they would have had, like, something with casting or a director on some of these by
now?
No,
they have, though, because James Wan is doing Aquaman, and that has,
I guess,
you know,
Aquaman's another one that they announced.
Jason Momoa and Amber Heard.
But hasn't that begun filming already? Or am I wrong?
No, because they just wrapped doing Justice
League. Oh, yeah,
League.
we saw pictures of her as Mira from Justice League.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, I don't know.
What are your thoughts, Colin?
Well, you gotta
bird.
Shoot
no,
the man. Red bird.
No,
yellow.
No.
I hate them pigs.
Yeah.
Those pigs suck. No thoughts on that?
I always wait for the movies to come out and then I watch them. No, seriously. You're right. Because I get people coming in saying, oh, such and such was option for a movie, but and it never gets made. So I honestly don't pay attention to anything with the movies until it's time to go see them. Because there's so much gnashing of teeth and
like the Cyborg movie
speculation.
There's already rumors that that's not going to happen, and that kind of makes sense. I mean, I can't imagine sitting through a 2.5 hour Cyborg movie.
No,
2.5 hour Cyborg movie.
But think of that's how long they're making these movies at this point. 2.5 hours.
Maybe he goes rogue and it's like a Terminator movie.
Ooh,
Rogue's an X-Men.
Maybe we could just not get a new Terminator movie.
Back to Hengerberts?
Those haven't been coming out there.
No, I appreciate your comment.
Okay, thank you.
No. So, that's all I got, Colin.
That's all he's got, Colin.
No. No outro music.
We haven't had a question for a while.
We haven't had a question, although I did get a comment just now from James.
Oh.
Stop putting stupid
music. Say you're drunk, go home. Podcast over.
You know what, we did forget about the October thing, but I think we kind of blew that. Since nobody showed up in October. Oh, no, I'm kidding. But we never came up with the horror recommendations. Just on me. But saying...
No, we did.
Oh, this was breaking...
We sat and we talked about it, and we're like, no one knows anything.
Yeah. But it was breaking Pat's news, is what it says.
Oh, okay.
Is Bleeding Cool says Double Take is shutting down at year's end. And is it, are you not surprised or totally not surprised?
That's the one that did the Night of the Living Dead one. It was like 15 books all came out at once.
Yep.
Yeah. It was...
I thought they just announced something like 2 weeks ago, though, that they were coming out with like 7 more books.
Right, but maybe that is no longer the case.
It seems weird, though, that they would announce that 2 weeks ago when it closed shop.
Yeah, Scoop, Bill Gemmis, Double Take to close down at the end of the month, which... Oh, at the end of the month.
Wow.
It was a disaster.
How are you going to satisfy all the customers demanding the Night of the Living Dead stuff?
Yeah.
Well, again, their problem was that they didn't brand anything. It didn't say Night of the Living Dead. No. It didn't say anything on the cover except the title of these books, which had the stupidest title. Home, Medic, Remote.
Yeah.
There was nothing to let you know these were unified, that this was anything. Overall... It was a grand plan. It was ambitious.
It was a very high concept.
And apparently, they, sorry, I just got a text from my wife. Apparently, they, like, one book that I happened to read, I was talking to, they just changed salespeople there. And the one guy I was talking to, I said, unfortunately, it was the one book I read was Remote. And it was probably the worst, most high schoolish thing I've ever read. And he's like, well, you know, they actually had it completely redrawn and everything for the trade. I'm like, great. But
too late.
Yeah, but if you've already read it and it sucked, you're not gonna
go back. And the other problem it had was that Bill Gemmis was a big fan of when he was at Marvel, especially when they did the Ultimate line, everything was lowercase. Like it was upper and lowercase lettering that nobody likes. But he, I guess, is dyslexic and it's easier for him to make out the letters that way.
Well, that's not why you make comic books. It's just make them how you
Well, that it was easier to read that way, so that's why he did that, and all these books are lettered that way. And
that's not a good plan.
So, but yeah, it was an idea that just never took off. And like I said, just based on poor branding, poor, you know, it wasn't thought through on this end. Yeah, I'm sure on their end it was great.
But let's say, for the sake of argument, they would have said Night of the Living Dead, Home, Night of the Living Dead, Revival, Night of the Living Dead, Medic.
Right.
Okay. Do you really think there's enough desire in the marketplace for 10 different books?
Right. No, I get you there. But my problem, by not doing that, it made these books irrelevant. Yeah. Oh, there's a book on the shelf and it says Home. What does that mean?
You don't put a title on something that, for something that's unknown to everybody, you need to have something that's going to be like, oh, I can relate to that. Home does not.
Yeah, they would have been better off saying, you know, Zombie.
Zombie.
You know, anything. It would have been, anything to unite it. Like I told the guy, the only thing they had was the Double Take logo in the corner to let you know they were even anything.
One was called Remote. So, like, I just, your TV remote?
It was the radio broadcast of Night of the Living Dead, what was going on.
Oh, that had to be exciting.
The art was atrocious. But, yeah, so if they're shutting down, I don't want to say good, but, yeah, I don't think it.
Try harder next time.
I don't know what their plan was. I know they gave away like 10,000 graphic novels at New York Comic Con, but it's like, for what purpose?
Because they wanted to stop paying for a warehouse somewhere.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I know they were doing a thing for local comic shop day where they were going to send me a ton, like 10 sets of all the trades, and it was going to cost me like $30 just to ship them. And then I never heard back, so maybe that explains why. Like, they were going to have somebody send me an invoice, and I was going to pay, but I never heard back, so.
So now, since they're shut down, they're going to be collector's items. You're going to get double the amount, right?
Yeah. Come buy them. They're collectors, yes.
Come buy the books you didn't want to begin with.
Well, but that's the thing. They will be rare because no one bought them.
Yeah, but they'll be numerous, though, I'm sure.
I don't know if they did Spawn-level print runs, but... Oh, Home number one, print a million of them.
It's just nobody bought them, so there's going to be a lot.
The funny thing was, they printed them in 10 packs. Mm-hmm. So if you bought a pack of all, like, they were only $2.50 a piece, but if I bought the 10 pack, it was like they were only $2 a piece. Like, that was the pitch. And then you could buy 10 packs, and so it was basically a 100 pack that they called the Hundy. And I just thought that was the funniest thing I ever heard.
The Hundy.
I'm like, what store is going to buy 100 copies of a book they have never heard of? You know, it just...
Who wrote it?
A variety of people.
Anybody known?
No. One of them, little bit known. He does some of, like, the FUBAR stuff.
Okay.
But that was about it. And the only ones I ever sold were to Jeff McClelland, who knows that guy, because he also does work on FUBAR.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
and he bought those issues. Yeah, but he bought those issues. But that was the only ones I ever sold. And I feel bad because they're like, you know, did you read it? I'm like, no. I mean, and they always gave us free packs and all sorts of stuff. But it just, I read that first one and I never went back. Cause...
But there's what, 100 books come out a week? Yeah. You're not going to read everything.
Well, especially if it didn't sell you. I mean, it really did. Yep. You saw it on the shelf and you're just like, what is this? You sell so much, so why would you jump to it?
Well, you know, with Marvel sales being down, maybe Double Take could have filled that.
Filled that gap?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the plan.
Yay. We can do it.
Marvel lost market share to Double Take.
Yeah, what that be sad?
I mean, anything's possible.
I think that might cause the people at Disney to...
I think it would take a lot for Marvel to have that happen to them. Not just that, but even to lose, like, the number two spot, even.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a big gap between number two and number
Who's
three.
Who's next? Image? Image isn't the third?
Yeah. That's think so.
But it's not fun. Sorry.
I apologize. It's in my head, and I can't get it out of my head, so I figured I'd just play it again.
To get everybody else's head.
Exactly. Tim, what are you still doing here?
He's trying to keep the sanity going here.
Oh, hey, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim. Oh, bye,
One
Tim.
Day he'll stay.
I know you're back.
He'll contribute into Tim's rants.
Ooh.
Tim's thoughts. Tim's from behind the counter on a Wednesday.
Tim just leaves.
He didn't even want to hear that. I'm out of here. Screw you guys. I'm out of here.
You want to know Tim's thoughts right now?
Yeah.
What do I do with Tim?
You didn't do anything. He's not amused by us.
Yeah, he's not amused by us. Well, maybe
That's
us,
just
not
wrong.
Yet.
I think we're very amusing.
No, I don't think so.
Our listener doesn't. Well, maybe our listener does. James, do you think we're amusing? Michael,
not when you have to resort
Colin,
to treat,
you're sounding
to cheap
desperate.
Tricks like music and apologizing.
Zach, are we amusing? Okay,
most of the time
those
you just
are the three
steal
listeners
jokes from Saturday Night Live.
Any questions?
And I think he's high.
No, I will admit to being completely sugared up because basically I didn't eat a ton and was sitting here and the rest of the Halloween candy was here. And
That's why you bought the excess amount.
It
you
was
stole
one
another
bag.
Bag
it
you?
Was, no, it
I
was
you
one
two
bag.
Bags.
No, I took them home.
Oh, thank God.
But it was just one bag. We didn't. So many people got comics on Saturday at Halloween Comic Fest.
Yeah.
They didn't take the
Actually,
candy.
Actually, it was pretty
so.
Good turnout.
It was a real good turnout. I thank everybody for coming. Everybody who dressed up.
Because last year, even at the end, like when we did the costume contest,
Pat, you did an awesome Dave costume.
Thank you.
We almost
thought. We didn't believe
Dave
it was you here.
Was
we thought
here.
It was Pat dressed up as you.
I mean, that's how. Right. Dave, why didn't you come?
The Halloween. Like, Adam didn't dress up at all.
I had a Quarter Miles mask.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we believe you belong
wait
to
a minute,
Quarter Miles.
Wait a minute. You didn't dress up as anything.
He didn't. Was the Great Pumpkin.
And he was, what was that that you said? That he was he was angry because he has gout or something.
Did I say that?
Yes.
I just heard the Great Pumpkin.
Could have been somebody else there. It wasn't me. I didn't say it.
I don't think I said that.
Somebody said it.
Pat wasn't there.
People were out
wasn't
to get you
me.
With
Pat,
this
Pat,
yelp.
If the person who said it would have been me, Pat. And then... No. Okay, dead air is not a good thing, Colin. Your show, brother.
You're being mean to me.
Sorry,
what,
James.
Do you want me to jump in? Yes, sir.
After asking you, you know, how good is our podcast, and then he just dies on it.
Colin's distracted because the World Series is on.
But
and everyone
you're
wants to watch the
lose.
Cubs lose. But that requires Cleveland to win. And
yeah, and
Cleveland.
They gave up a leadoff home run. Yeah.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
I just find it funny that your horse in this race is wanting someone to lose. Like, you don't really care about the winning part.
It's a hard thing, but yeah, it's true. When you grow up hating a team...
You know, my favorite team is the Eagles, and my second favorite team is whoever's playing the Cowboys.
Right. So, I don't, if the Cowboys were in, you wouldn't be rooting necessarily for the other team, just rooting for not the Cowboys. So that's kind of how I am here.
Yeah, I'm rooting against the Cubs too because this entire series has been through the prism of the Cubs. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just want, yeah, I just,
oh,
want,
I just
want, I want them to come close and then everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody there going, oh, wah, wah.
Even if it's wah.
Bottom of the ninth and they lose. How
That'd
great
be
would
awesome.
That be?
That would be awesome.
See, the problem is that they brought Charlie Sheen. They should have brought Dennis Haberth instead. Joe Boo.
And the chickens.
The chickens.
Wasn't that the chickens that they had to sacrifice the
bones?
Yeah, and
then
they
touched
the bones.
Yeah.
Gross.
I'll bet Tom Berenger would go. What's
he's
the
not doing
thing
anything
he's
else.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, didn't want to look up and see that. Okay.
What was it?
Old man.
Just a naked old man. Well, not naked, but shirtless old man.
What are we watching behind
It's a commercial.
Put your shirt back on, Adam.
Yeah, you old man.
Weird.
Wow.
You and your loafers.
It is. It is a look.
You're a look.
No, I have to side with Colin on this. It is a look.
So I don't have a rant or anything. The new previews did come out, and I was kind of flipping through the Marvel previews. I'm just very confused by the Miles Morales Spider-Gwen relationship. Just, it's like two characters that shouldn't even be in the Marvel universe, and it just, none of it makes sense.
That's how they bond.
Well, but that's just it. It seems like she can still dimension hop. They said something about her being on Earth 65.
But she just doesn't make sense on Earth, you know, because her whole reason for being is Peter Parker died, and, you know, her whole thing is a big what if with people in different positions, so her being in the regular Marvel universe isn't a thing.
Well, no, but I get that. If she came over during Spider-Verse, you know, what happened to her, you know, specifically what happened to Peter on her Earth, still happened. She'd still be motivated.
But
it'd be like,
the neat part of her book was all the changes, all the differences.
I get that, but if someone finally cloned back Uncle Ben and Uncle Ben was alive again, Peter wouldn't hang up the mask and say, well, now Uncle Ben's back. I'm going to stop being Spider-Man.
So it makes more sense that Miles doesn't really belong on the Earth, on this Earth.
No, no, because he still came from where he came from.
According to him, though, unless they have said something about it, he has always lived there. As if that Earth just merged with the other one and now he's always been there. Because his family lives there and everything. They weren't all just brought over.
Yeah, they were. As a result of Secret Wars.
Yeah, but does he remember it? Does he remember all of a sudden coming back?
They don't have to remember it.
To remember it. But his whole existence
is not dependent on what happened with Peter Parker at all.
His whole existence is the ultimate Peter Parker died and he took up his legacy. If that Peter Parker never existed, which he didn't, then he has no purpose.
No. From his perspective, he's always been that.
For what reason? Why would he pick up the mask and be like, I'm going to put this mask on and be Peter Parker? Because he never existed.
Reed Richards remade all the universes, or remade the universe, it wasn't like it set everybody back to being just born. When Miles Morales showed up, he was 16, he had already been Spider-Man.
So he's always Spider-Man, but was there ever Ultimate Peter Parker?
From Miles' perspective, I'd say yes.
Then there was.
From ours' perspective, no.
That's still odd. I mean, I get what you're saying, but it's still like, I don't know.
Spider-Man book?
Yeah.
Because in there, they say that there's a Miles Morales in this 616.
Which we never...
Universe 2.
And it was all surprising of who he was.
They never did anything with
never,
that.
No. And I don't think they will now that they've done this. Yeah. So, I mean, if it was like, that was the one...
But they did the same thing with Silk. That she apparently got bit at the same time Peter did, but no one ever knew about it.
Yeah. It's just, knowing Ultimates, like, with Ultimates, they're all teenagers. Peter was a teenager. Miles was a teenager, probably just a few years younger than him. So when Peter dies in the Ultimate Universe, he picks up the legacy as Spider-Man. Now, he doesn't know him, but he feels like being that he got bit, somebody has to take up the mantle, and this was his reason to pick up that mantle.
Right.
But that was his reasoning.
But had he been moved into the 616 at 12 years old, before it happened, or whatever. He wouldn't have done that, but Reed Richards didn't bring them back in time, so he was already Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So from his perspective, he's like, okay, well, I'm still Spider-Man in a different universe.
He goes around and according to him, he's Spider-Man, but there's not too much of an origin left for him, unless we're following the Ultimate Origin. And if the Ultimate Origin doesn't exist, then he has a brand new origin we haven't seen.
No one ever said those other universes didn't exist.
Yeah.
They were destroyed. But they existed.
Well, yeah, but nobody knows about them. Nobody remembers them. I mean, maybe Miles remembers his universe exists.
Remember
Berries? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of just randomly bringing characters over without some sort of point.
Yeah, like that time Angela showed up for no reason.
Well, yeah, that's another character that just showed up with no purpose whatsoever.
Is she being used for anything now?
She's coming back into Guardians, I believe.
Okay.
When they get back into outer space, maybe. I don't know.
Well, they lost out on that deal, didn't they? With all the...
Well, and yeah, especially because the thing that they did that for was to get the Miracle Man.
And that book failed miserably.
The continuation by Neil Gaiman, and it got canceled. I don't know if we're ever going to see it or if they're going to do it.
I was
going
to say, because a new issue never came out, did it?
Did it? It got canceled?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it was like $8 for reprint.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible. Yeah, I think it was $5, but yeah.
Okay.
It was still ridiculous. That thing never went anywhere.
Yeah, we have to cancel your book, but I didn't write anything yet.
Well, yeah, and that's like it took, 3 years for that stuff to come out?
Yeah.
You would have thought by then he'd have been able to write.
Yeah, it was,
But I think when that first came out, we talked about that. They should have just released all the old stuff as a trade.
Yep.
And then,
how would they get as much money as possible from you if it was all collected in a trade?
Well, then the problem was
they
came out with, I think it was $35 hardcovers collecting 4 issues. It's like, what? Yeah, that whole thing was a debacle. Maybe they just kind of washed their hands of it. I don't know.
That's the Marvel method. Make mine something else.
So, who read something?
We had this discussion earlier.
I could go over the three. Well, I'll start with the three I read. So
you never start.
Well, I'm starting this time.
Wow. He only has three. So if he doesn't start, he's going to be out.
So I had three interesting books, just in the sense of I can't say I liked, I can't say I didn't like them. They were just kind of... First one was a book called Skeptics. This one is from Black Mask. Basically, it's set like in the 70s, and the Russians are out there saying, we have these two kids who have mental powers. They can knock your missiles out of the sky. They can, you know, see your secrets, things like that. So the U.S. military is now on the search to get two people that they can. So this teacher teaches these two kids how to fool their, you know, psychic tests.
Okay.
So that they can then...
Be those
people, and they do that. And then at the end, all of a sudden, they meet up with the Russians, but you don't know if the Russians are real or not. She's convinced that the Russians are fake, and they're just doing this as a political move to try to exert pressure. So that's why she's doing this, not to be mean, not to make money or anything, but just to kind of try to show the military, hey, it's fake. We could fake it. They faked it. And then, so there's a chase at the end where the two kids are trying to get away, and they go into a room and the Russians are there. Neat book, really neat idea, really neat story. Did not like the art. The art was not good. Mm. Really, I have to say, disappointed with the art. So it's a hard one to recommend, only in the sense the story's good. It's got a lot of potential, a lot of possibility, but the art, I thought, was lacking. Next one was Prowler number 1. Now, I hadn't read the Prowler stuff before Clone Conspiracy, but I knew enough, and it definitely tells you enough that basically he died and was resurrected using this new you thing that the Jackal is in charge of. And basically the Prowler now works for the Jackal, but he's not really a bad guy, and it gives a long explanation of his history.
So it's like the Punisher.
Right, and he's just kind of in charge of the minions working for the Jackal, who mostly are bad guys, but he's just trying to keep them in line and stuff. And that was basically, the crux of the story. But in this one, it was a problem with the art. And not that the art was bad, but the art was so digital and so obviously digital. It almost looked like a video game stills put on the page, that it had no emotion or movement. It was just flat.
Very robotic.
There was just nothing there. I know I don't have any on the shelf. I might have one in my bag just to show you. I'll grab it when I'm done. But... It was there on the page, but it just was blah. It was flat, lifeless, Nothing. I really did not care for the art. And again, it wasn't bad. It was rendered nice. Everything was good. But you could tell it was a case of, oh, let's put him sitting in the chair here. Oh, let's move that over a little bit. And, okay. You know, it just really had that feeling of cut and paste and nothing there. And then Dave, I know, is excited to talk about this next one. Uh-huh. Civil War VI. And yes. I had forgotten to write it down when I was going through the
Civil
list
War
of books.
Civil War II, number 6.
Correct.
We're not
correct.
At Civil War 6 yet.
Correct.
Give Marvel time.
Right. So.
Wait till November 9th.
Yeah. The last one ended with them everybody having a vision of Miles killing Captain America.
Miles?
Oh, I also read Captain America. Okay.
On the steps of the Capitol building.
Yeah. And so they're like, Miles, and Captain America, or Marvel's there going, Miles, you're under arrest. Or, you know, Spider-Man, she probably doesn't know who he is. Spider-Man, you're under arrest.
Could she arrest people?
She's, yeah, because she's the most powerful character in the Marvel Universe now.
She's just a vigilante. She's not charged.
She's with the Ultimates.
Yeah, she's in charge of Alpha Flight.
But not so, Canadian.
No, right.
But go on.
But so this one starts with basically everybody kind of defending, like Captain America saying, no, you can't hurt, you know, even though it's me we had in this vision, you can't arrest him. It's like if he wants to, you know, he's like, I just want to go home. And Cap's like, if he wants to go home, he should be able to go home. He didn't do anything. You know, you can't arrest him for that. And so a big discussion on that. And then Black Panther actually switches sides and now sides with them.
You just do that.
And so Miles kind of goes home and has this long, you know, thinking process thing. And then at the very end, he ends up back at the Capitol, where it looks like maybe now everything's going to kind of happen the way it happened in this vision. So you don't know. But
yeah. All the kids leave the Avengers. Too.
Right. That we already knew, because if you read Champions or even the cover of... Maybe it was the one cover Champions where they're burning their cards, their Avengers cards and stuff. Aww. So it wasn't exactly
Rebels.
A well-kept secret.
Yeah. I thought the previous issue was okay, but man, this was just
nothing
a
happened.
Lot of,
it, three it pages.
Has this story progressed?
No. This was a lot of treading water.
Yeah, it's been a lot of
what you just described feels like how you're describing issue two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of talking, a lot of treading water in this.
But I feel like...
Is Bendis writing this?
Yeah.
Just from listening to you guys, they've already addressed the whole, we saw a vision of him doing this, how should we handle it?
Yeah.
That became Bendis's style, like just slowly writing a book.
But that's just it. Like, I legitimately did not know, I just guessed it was Bendis.
No interviews.
God, that was awful.
Sitting around a coffee table.
Now, interestingly, then Captain America, Steve Rogers... One weird thing was it had two identical pages from it, a lot of the Cap talking pages. And basically it's a little more interesting where he's like, he's created discord amongst the superheroes, which was his goal, to try to cause disruption.
Yet he didn't do it 10 years ago when they had actual civil war. And
well, because he hadn't been changed back then.
Okay.
Because it was only when the Cosmic Cube Kobik changed his history, changed his memories.
That's right.
So now, this was kind of interesting, where he's looking at it as if he has to die to create, to have this happen, so be it, and stuff. So that was kind of interesting. But it was a little weird when you had two complete pages basically reprinted in Captain America. It was one of those, you're reading it going, okay, I just read this. So that
Didn't
was
I
a little
pay
bit
for
odd.
This?
Yeah.
Damn you, Marvel!
Exactly. So that's all I got. I'm going to go grab that prowler, just so I can show you guys. So you understand.
There's a prowler?
You're going to grab that prowler?
There's a prowler right here. Oh, my goodness. Get him, Colin.
What a good you did, Em.
Get him. He's back here. You're blocking my way. What was I supposed to do?
Good.
I'll go next.
Awesome.
First one, Bloodshot USA. Did you read it, Pat?
I didn't get to it. I bought it, but I haven't gotten to it yet.
Well, I won't spoil anything. What's going on?
This happened.
No, what's going on in the event? This is Valiant's next event spinning out of the Jeff Lemire Bloodshot Island arc. So, or Bloodshot Reborn series. So, Project Rising Spirit has decided to release this Bloodshot virus in New York City, and create all of these bloodshots. Essentially, creating the same sort of bloodshots we saw in the beginning of Bloodshot Reborn, that he was, okay, that Ray Garris was out to try and rein in. And at the same time, you still have Bloodshot and the other, you know, older Bloodshots floating on the raft.
Team
in the
Bloodshot,
Team Bloodshot floating on the raft in the middle of the ocean. Which is a fun interaction with them, like arguing about, you know, tired eating fish and the same issues with Viet Man that have been going on in the previous series. And you see Project Rising Spirit in his bunker just watching the mayhem unfold, and their whole plan is that they're going to let, you know, wreak this havoc and then swoop in and save the day and look like heroes and possibly use Kay McHenry, who's now Deathmate, to come in and clean up the mess. And then Team Bloodshot gets, you know, contacted and gets brought in to help out with the situation. But it was a really good start to this miniseries. I think Valiant has done a fantastic job with all of their events and miniseries so far, and I don't think this is going to disappoint at all without giving anything really away. Hellblazer, was that last week? I'm still thrown off from having that week off.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get caught up. So, I don't think it was last week.
I had it on my list, but I didn't get a chance to read it. But yeah, it was.
I'm tempted to drop this book.
I'm with you.
Like,
that's why I didn't really read the last one.
This book feels very disjointed. It feels like there's two separate stories going on in this book. There's a Swamp Thing story and a Constantine story. And the Swamp Thing story, I think, is pretty good. And I'm interested where it's going. Abby Arcane is missing. Swamp Thing is enlisting help to try and find her. He has to go into the Rot. It's all, like, it's written well. Swamp Thing, you know, it feels like Swamp Thing, not kind of like this Swamp Thing miniseries we had previously. But I like it. I'm interested to see where it's going. The Constantine stuff, it feels like he's just wandering around, and it's boring.
And a lot of talking.
It's a lot of talking. Boring.
With issue two, and I told Colin about it, I was like, maybe it was a book that I just didn't, like, I wasn't reading at the right time. Like, I was reading late at night or something. I was just like, I got bored with it. But I got seriously bored with it, and I haven't went back to it.
No.
And then with the third issue, that's why I'm behind, because the second issue, I was just, like, so bored, and then I'm going on to the third issue, I wasn't ready, so.
Yeah, and that's, I've been on the fence, because I would do want to see where the Swamp Thing stuff goes.
I was about ready to cancel it, but I didn't. I got the third issue.
But.
And that was kind of my thing, because I'm on the fence about it too, because I really want to keep a Hellblazer book on my list, because I do enjoy the character, but yeah, they need to pick it up.
And the first when the series first came out, like I'll give it this, it did feel, you know, like a true Hellblazer book. Yeah. It felt like it had the voice of Constantine, really, but it's not going anywhere.
And
with so many books out right now, so many good books out right now, it's hard to justify continuing to purchase it. But we'll see. I haven't decided yet on what's going to happen with that one.
That's a tough one.
Vision 12. So Vision came to an end last week. I don't want to give anything away, because I really hope people pick this up in trade, and I really hope they do a hardcover with all 12 issues.
At least. If they don't do a hardcover, I'd like to see one of those ultimate collections.
But this issue was a perfect end to the series. This series is one of my favorite books that I would say I've ever read. This last issue somehow managed to find a balance between being haunting and heartbreaking and optimistic all at the same time. And it was just, it was perfect. It was a perfect end to a perfect series, and I really hope people check it out. Teen Titans number one.
Yeah, I read that.
I like this a lot.
I did too. It I think it portrayed Damien.
Damien's a douche.
Yeah, he is.
Like, there's no.
He's in it a lot. He is.
Yeah, like there's no way around that.
To pick up that he's.
But
there was also something. Like,
it feels like that's what Damien would do. Like Damien kidnapping all these.
He doesn't know how to make friends and how to build a team, so he kidnaps a team.
Yeah, kidnaps them to try and show them that they are stronger together than individually.
Yes.
And it just seems like that would be his logic, his rationale on how to accomplish that.
But whatever, I really liked the stuff with him and Alfred.
That was good too.
You know, because like it was clear it turned him into a bit of a sympathetic
character. And then seeing the, you know, stuff with Ra's al Ghul coming back.
Right.
But no, it was good. I've really enjoyed this series so far. On the flip side, Titans.
I haven't gotten to that yet. It's
slow. And I don't really care much about Abracadabra.
Yeah, that seemed like a weird villain to bring as kind of the first one.
Yeah.
I think he was the first villain they ever faced as a team.
Really?
Okay.
I recognize this book is important moving forward. And it's not bad. It's just, I feel like it's taking a while to get where it's going with this first arc.
But if it's, you know, if it's such an important book, then have it do something. Like, let it get some. Especially when you have another Teen Titans book. Like, it doesn't seem like you need to have two, but if you're going to have two, make it worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Adam, I knew you were going to talk about Generation Zero, so I'm going to save that for you.
Okay.
Dave, did you read Descender?
Yes.
So, I have not been shy about saying I'm not a fan of this arc being a bunch of individual like one-shots with telling the origin of these different characters, especially when the previous arc left us on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I still think, personally, that was a stupid decision. I feel like a lot of these would have been better suited as backups to the issues. That being said, this was a fantastic issue. This was probably the one origin that I really like thoroughly enjoyed from cover to cover, and it was the origin of Driller of all characters.
Yeah,
but it just his character we haven't known a whole lot about except he hates humans and he goes around saying, you know, Driller's a real killer. We don't know exactly why. And to see, you know, how he became like that and what happened to him and his kind of evolution or de-evolution, depending on how you look at it. It was really well done and made you really feel for that character. And he's one character that I think really needed that origin.
Yeah. But, you know, since the series started, this whole Driller's a killer stuff, I don't know if I ever took that seriously enough, but man,
it almost just seemed like, you know, just like puffing out his chest.
Yeah, exactly. But this man, it puts that all in context for him.
Yeah, like to see what put him over the edge.
Gives him some real dark undertones.
Yeah, and what really made him finally like hate the Hermans.
Yeah, that's how he goes with the Hermans.
Yeah, well, I mean, he has a big secret
close to a trade.
This issue, I think, finishes off the current arc.
Okay, so that's
so you'll get a trade of all the origins. Yeah.
Yeah, I've liked it. I think it's a good book.
No, I like the book.
It wasn't a good time for the book.
don't have a cliffhanger and then spend the next 5 to 6 months just telling origin stories for the characters.
Or backing up with the origin stories, you know, something.
Why? That's what The Walking Dead does.
Do something to move the story. You know, progress the story.
Yeah.
Or don't do it on a cliffhanger like that. It's just,
yeah, I agree.
It's
a really good issue.
It seems cheap.
Glad you liked it, Josh.
Deathstroke 5. Are any of you guys reading Deathstroke?
No.
This has been a surprisingly, you know, very good series. Right now, we have Deathstroke teamed up with his daughter. And they were on a... Last issue, they're on a road trip to Gotham. Because someone's trying to kill his daughter. And he's trying to find out who it is. And he wants to... In the previous issue, when he was trying to lure Batman out to try and force Batman's hand into helping them, you know, find and stop this killer. And he did it... Like, it culminated in the last issue with him kidnapping Damian. So with this issue, we have Deathstroke torturing Damian while Rose, you know, lures in Batman and tries to get Batman to help them out using Damian as leverage. And Batman, you know, of course, refusing to take the bait on it. You know, essentially that Damian could take care of himself. And Damian, the entire issue, was just, like, constantly trying to get under Deathstroke's skin And it felt so much like Damien as he's just talking all of this trash on Deathstroke the entire time, trying to rattle his cage. But it's been a really good book. The art's been pretty fantastic, and Priest's writing has been solid. The way the books have been structured, it skips around a little bit, but I think it works for the story. And we see that Deathstroke, what's happening on the surface, is not what's actually going on. That Deathstroke is playing a bigger game and possibly using his daughter and other people as bait to get what he really wants.
That sounds like it.
Yeah. But no, it was
him and Damien really would get along really well, though, if you think about it.
When it references, and I didn't read this book, but it references an encounter they had in Robin, Son of Batman.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Well, so, and Damien
references how he beat Deathstroke before, and it was Deathstroke says about he beat him with a check or whatever.
Yeah. I read that Son of Batman years ago, so I don't remember. Well, I saw the movie probably more recently, and yeah, he does fight him. The funny thing about look. Damien's a child. Damien's 10 years old. So for him to even hold his own against Deathstroke, who is supposed to be, you know, this world-class assassin,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of insulting.
Yeah. And the last one I'll mention, and I was on the fence about mentioning because I'm only halfway through it, is the Wonder Woman 75th Anniversary Special. And this is a pretty big anthology
issue. Yeah, Tom was out of it when I
just got more in.
Okay.
But so far, I'm halfway through, but so far it's been fantastic. It's an anthology that feels like it's done right. It has a bunch of, you know, short stories in it, like 2-3-page stories. There are a couple that are longer, but for the most part it's been pretty short stories. Great collection of creators.
Okay.
On the book, the first story in it, I believe, was co-written by Raphael Albuquerque and drawn by Albuquerque, and immediately opened it up and it looked very much like American Vampire, and it took place during World War II with her. But each story seems to focus on a different aspect of Wonder Woman,
okay.
And really flesh out who the character is. And the book feels very much like a celebration of that character. We have a lot of different pieces of art in it. Sketches, like there was one section where it focused on some of the best covers from Brian Boland's run on doing covers for Wonder Woman, and three sketches for covers that were never released. Mm-hmm. There was a pretty interesting mock interview in a mock-up of the Daily Planet Sunday magazine where Lois Lane was interviewing Wonder Woman that Greg Rucka wrote, and Liam Sharp did the photography in it.
Okay.
Liam Sharp wrote and drew a two-page story in it, but it's been fantastic so far. And it's $8, which is, you know, a bit much for one book, but I feel like this is well worth the price of admission. It's a thicker book. It's not a square bound book, but it feels. Like there's plenty of content. I think because there's so many stories. You see a lot of anthologies like this where it's just maybe four, you know, decent sized stories. But if you don't like,
was the Legends of Tomorrow book square bound?
It was
okay,
mm-hmm. But that was four full issues.
Yes, yeah.
But with an anthology like that where it's four, you know, decent sized stories, if you don't like one of those stories, then you hated a quarter of the book. Like this with all these smaller stories in there. I feel like you're getting several different looks to character, and if there's one you don't like, you're getting a feel for several different creators. There was, you know, one that was drawn by Riley Rossimo that was pretty interesting.
Now, was this all new stuff, or was this
reprint? It's all new stuff. Okay. I mean, some stuff, like the sketches and the covers, some of those are reprints, but
the stories have all been
new. But no, I if you are a fan of the current Wonder Woman run, or just the character in general, I would definitely pick this up. I kind of wish that they had did something like this for all of these other characters that recently had their 75th anniversaries.
Yeah, Superman and
Batman. Green Lantern, Batman.
Yeah. Joker had, and I think the Joker could have been a really good one for that, because mm-hmm. there's been so many different takes on the character.
No, it's really cool. It definitely feels like a celebration of this character over the years. So yeah, I would if you were interested, I would definitely grab it. And that's it for me.
Dave?
Jughead number 10.
Was your copy ripped?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a little piece, one little...
Yeah, so was his, and so was everyone on the shelf. But yeah. I don't check the insides of everyone.
Nobody's yelling at
me. You are. Yeah, you were yelling at me. You were blaming me.
You came in here and yelled at him, yep. And then even said, even all your reprints are bad.
They are bad. I don't remember sounding like that. Yeah. Exactly. Like
that's kind of how old men
like Popeye or something. I call it Unsweetened
Tea Pet.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is
what are we gonna do?
Regardless of the rip. This was Jughead's date with Sabrina.
Was it magical?
It was magical.
It was magical.
I can't imagine the way Jughead pulling down Sabrina.
Sabrina really
that
likes
that ain't
Jughead.
Happening.
I don't know. Sabrina really likes Jughead. She likes...
Yeah.
Maybe he had hot dog with him.
Well, she was dressed as a giant cheeseburger.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Jughead likes him, but...
Her.
Her. But,
Unless you're talking about Archie, but we know that.
But, yeah, Sabrina likes Jughead's personality.
Not to sidetrack, but did we really have two Wednesdays that... came before and after Halloween without an Afterlife with Archie or Sabrina?
Yes, we did.
Horror book?
Yeah.
Last year, we probably didn't either.
Really? Archie comics?
Yeah, they're dropping the ball.
You know what, though?
Is
like,
it really
I
worth the keeping
previews,
the guy who's
a
right in
Archie horror book in it.
They make it really hard to be fans
they do.
Of their books.
And it, but like the last Afterlife with Archie was so good.
Like, it's like someone's kind of saying, how far can we take this just on the quality of the book alone?
If you really think of it, both issues have been filler. All the issues have been filler.
Yeah, they have been
sidetrack stories.
Yeah.
One with Sabrina, and then one with Sabrina's was the cat about Salem, and then the other one was Archie's about Josie and the Pussycats.
Josie and the Pussycats. Yeah.
So it's just like
that was really.
It is at this point. Is it even worth keeping the writer though?
I'll like, just say here, give us the outline, and we'll go forward.
Or just say who cares? Because we're not getting a story from you anyways, and just do whatever somebody else wants to write.
Yeah, but is it the writer or is it Frank Avea?
No, I think it's the writer. So. Well, he doesn't do both books.
He's involved in the TV show too.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The writer.
The writer is yeah, but it's like, but I think he has some. Like,
yeah, he's involved in Riverdale.
He has some sort of
well.
Important position at Archie, but still. Yeah.
It's time to move on, so we can at least make money off of this book.
If Colin Bunn can do that many books,
that's right.
But
we're not even asking you to do
with
two
no
a month.
Drop in quality.
Okay.
So Jughead's all nervous, and he's trying to get help from Kevin Keller, who's at the restaurant, and he's texting with Archie.
Hold on, time out.
Time out.
Time out. I don't know how to say this.
You can't give a time out and not be done eating. Whatever.
No, that's not why. I'm trying to. How can I pose this question?
Like, time out would be when he's eating.
No. How can I pose this question while sounding like a complete ass?
Okay.
Of all the people in the Archie universe you're going to go to because you have women problems, Kevin Keller is not my first pick.
Why is that? Well,
experience-wise, I don't think Kevin's going to have it.
No, I don't think it's that. I think
Archie is able to juggle
I think he's a little more
women.
Sensitive with certain subjects that they can deal with.
Jughead is asexual, as we've learned before.
We did learn that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he knows nothing about anything.
Okay.
So that's my.
He knows about cheeseburgers.
He just likes cheeseburgers.
Ew.
Oh, Colin, not
that's
that.
A flashback
that's disgusting.
To Preacher. Preacher readers all know it.
Quit interrupting Dave.
I still stand by my question. Of all the people, he could have went
he
to Archie, he could have went to Reggie.
He was at the restaurant.
He could have went to
give
Moose.
Give it time. Give it time.
Moose even has a girl.
Hops.
Give it time here. Okay.
Mr. Weatherby?
Go on with, what did he do next, then?
Salem the Cat?
He did Salem the Cat?
Well,
what
didn't
the hell
work.
Is wrong with him?
Kevin was just getting tired of being there. He didn't really want to be there, Kevin. But he told him to, be himself and himself and all that. And he still didn't understand. And then he stole Kevin's phone to get him to sit there on the date with him. And then Kevin was just like, give me my phone, and he left.
Yeah. And then
Kevin didn't want to be there.
Archie is impersonating
then he
a
calls
French...
Archie.
Yeah, I know.
Texts Archie, and Archie's just all excited because he wants to do this. So Archie comes into this restaurant dressed as a French waiter at a restaurant that is not French at all. And tries to help him, and it just doesn't work anyways. I mean, they didn't even try. So, Archie didn't even try with this thing.
So we get to the magical part, and Sabrina starts casting all these spells on Jughead. But they all work out in Jughead's favor.
Yeah.
Even one that causes Reggie and Jughead to be best friends.
Yeah. Well, step back a little bit, because, like, the reason why she was mad was because it just wasn't working out, and everything she was trying to do, he just wasn't, you know, having fun on the date, and she was trying to tell him, like, just act like yourself, be yourself, and he just kept playing with his phone, trying to get people, and he wasn't listening to her, and she just got kind of tired of it and left. And she even used the spell in the bathroom that was going to, like, make the scene, like, really romantic. There were, like, swan, like, flying, and they were spewing flower petals out of their mouth, and Jughead looks it up on his phone, and that's what he got in trouble for, but he was actually looking up if there was a serious problem of why a swan would have flower petals flying out of its mouth. So she tries to take out revenge on Jughead, and every spell that she used worked in his favor. Yeah, one of them was him, and he was trying to get, have him spend more time with Reggie so he'd get picked on and beat up more, but instead it worked that they just became best friends instead.
That was a funny two-page spread with all those with all those scenes of them together.
Yeah. The book is...
Sorry, Josh.
No, it was something else.
Okay.
The book is written by Ryan North. I really like Ryan North. He originally brought out the Adventure Time comic. Which he had a really good feel for it, but he has this thing, and I think I talked about this on the last podcast. He has this thing where he writes his own little notes at the bottom of the comic. So just every page has a little thing talking about something above that happened. And it just, how he writes it, you'd have to read it, but it just flows with the story. Like, he says, oh, well, why did he do this? Because you should have did this, or something like that. But his notes are even add on to the experience of reading it.
The book's been good since the beginning, but I like this writer a lot.
Ever since they switched to Ryan North and they changed the artist from Squirrel Girls' very own Erica, what's her face?
Henderson. I don't think
Henderson.
I didn't think it was. I don't think so.
The book has been a lot better. It's one of my favorite, I think. Yeah, the Archie book's really kind of more of a soap opera now going on.
Yeah.
Where
it's going all CW?
Yeah. Well, not that far. Not that far. But Jughead's just funny. It's a fun book to read.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed reading it. I read it today, and I was laughing at reading it. Any book that does that, I think.
And you got to the torn pages and went, oh!
And I got the torn pages. I was like, Colin, why did you do this?
No, pardon me.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Star Wars 24.
Oh, God, why did you bring that one up? It was such a good time that you're like, this is the book. This is the book.
Not the Ghost of Christmas Past.
That being that Darth Vader is ending, this is the book that I'm going to cancel Star Wars on. I'm not giving it any more time. Because... again, this is an issue where we just read Leia and Han arguing throughout the whole entire book.
Yeah.
Can I just say, you've been, like, pretty much complaining about this series for 24 issues. So Marvel has completely won here. They got you to buy this book that you haven't really liked for 24 issues. Was there an annual? Was there more than 24, Pat?
There was an annual.
I don't know.
I just...
25!
Because here's what I know. I opened the first one, I read it, and I'm like, this is horrible, and I didn't buy any more.
Me too, Pat.
The annuals I love, though. I did like the annuals.
You can buy those independently, you know.
I know, but I didn't know that.
Colin will still sell them.
If I canceled it, I wouldn't have picked them up at all. Or wouldn't known anything about.
Dave would have said they were great.
So you want to cancel Star Wars except for the annuals, okay.
I'm getting there. Chill out.
He's working on it. Look, another 60 or 70 bad issues, and he's going to cancel this
that
book.
Josh is right. And the thing about it is, if anybody would call me, like, a Marvel hater, I gave this book enough time. Like, and...
you think?
I think it's time to call it quits. But mainly, the whole... do you want to explain what the issue is about?
Well, it's... the last, still the last flight.
You're getting
Harbinger.
All hopped up on sugar.
I'm good.
And then Luke and Leia and Han.
He's looking for a butterscotch.
And the whole gang, they've stolen an Imperial Star Destroyer.
That's not the joke.
And they want to use it to get through this blockade of this planet that's aligned with the rebels. Aligned with the rebels.
Yeah.
And
where's the candy boy?
But then the Scar Troopers, these stormtroopers, are getting on, get themselves on board in this issue.
How long did that take? How long did it take them to get onto that ship?
Yeah. Well.
Well, yeah, it was more important to.
You okay, maniac?
Are you? Do you want
you
me
grab
to,
like thing, that thing like Georgie Animal stealing a turnbuckle.
You just need a piece of cardboard. You didn't even get it up or something. Wait,
what is going on right now?
What were you chewing the first time?
Acid.
Go ahead, Dave.
You interrupted Dave for that.
I didn't know what was going on.
And James is listening. He's going to be listening like, what is happening here? I should ask that as a question.
Yeah, I was just saying, we're sitting here going, what is happening here?
Yeah, he's
you
like
about, you about to break out some dance moves? You going to go all David S. podcast on us?
Yeah. He just wanted... Wow. So, yeah, Star Wars. That's crazy. Yeah. It's in a galaxy.
I'm not going to quit.
I was thinking about it
as the masochist. But.
That entire issue had them arguing back and forth on who was captain of this ship that they stole.
They just should have got a samurai. Look at me. I'm the captain.
So, did that in the previous issue, too. They were racing. They had a race.
Yeah, that's right. So, I don't know. The whole thing was just...
I'm ready for some other stories. You're figuring out the words. They're going to do a Yoda story. I don't know if this will bring you back, Adam.
Oh, that's a tough one.
We're going to do a Yoda story, I think, before that? Phantom Menace.
We'll see. We'll see, Dave.
Yoda story sounds interesting.
Yeah. What game is that?
It's something soup or something. Alphabet soup or something. Is
it pre-puppet or CGI Yoda?
I would guess he's still puppet. He was a puppet.
No, Phantom Menace, he was CGI.
Are we deciding what he's going to be in the book?
Yeah.
There'll be strings or something? Or no, he didn't use strings for Muppets. He used... It was underneath.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. Just time to get a new writer on this book.
Okay, next one I'll just mention, I read the new Serenity miniseries. First issue of the new Serenity miniseries, which is...
How do you move letters up
there? Based on the Firefly TV show. This takes place after the television show, after the movie. I'll just say, if you like it did a good job of capturing the dialogue, the characters of the show, the feeling of the show. So I think anybody that's a fan of the show will like this first issue, at least. Not too much happens. They get a distress call from the planet where Inara is from, and they decide she really wants, Captain Reynolds and the crew to help this person. They think she was taken by the Alliance. They think she's like a rebel leader, so they go to the planet and to try to help her.
Good job.
They're trying to. It's funny because they're trying to keep a low profile and smuggle some. They're smuggling, doing some smuggling jobs, but not getting this big stuff. So at the beginning, they're smuggling toilet paper because Captain Malcolm Reynolds says, everybody has to wipe. And some people are willing to pay for the privilege.
That's gross.
But I had to say it. So
yes.
It was a good first issue. I think people, if you like the show, you'll like that. That's all I got.
Okay. We're all about wiping.
It's all about wiping.
It's all about wiping.
Pat?
Oh. Wait, which we could have used as the name of the podcast, but that's gross, Colin.
Yeah.
That's too gross.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I read the movie.
Show. Wonder Woman.
It's a theme
song. No, that's again, you're doing more Peter Gunn than Wonder Woman.
It is not late enough for you to have this breakdown already.
Yeah, that's...
It's 9:05. Normally this happens when
like
we get
9:35, yeah. So anyway, there were parts of this issue I really liked, and then some of it not so much.
I like the whole thing.
Well, the stuff at the end with Steve Trevor, I just thought was kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Because it definitely references back to the New 52. And it references her relationship with Superman.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it seems like so much has changed that it couldn't have been part of the New 52.
I agree. Well, I feel like he's right in
Steve
it.
Steve Trevor being in the Navy instead of the Air Force, him being enlisted, not an officer.
Well, hold on. Back that up for a second, because in the other... In the what's it called? Not the lies, but the
year one,
whatever. He's in the Air Force in that. So something has happened somewhere.
Yeah, you're right.
Line.
He was in the Air Force in that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't think he's always been. In
the book does feel like he's writing pre New 52 Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Because I think he's just used to writing that character, but he's adding in things that make it seem like it's still. 52. Trevor looks a lot older, but maybe it's because he was on
beard.
That mission and the beard and all
yeah,
that. So I'll
beard.
Go with that. But
he'd take you.
He probably could.
Probably. Did you really say probably? Like there's a chance you might have won against Steve Trevor?
Well,
okay.
For one, he's not real. So
I would
he
still
a comic
take
book.
A fictional Navy SEAL over Adam any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Oh. Why twice on Sunday?
Because I just want to see you get your ass kicked twice on Sunday.
He's still fake. If he can get out of that comic book and take me, then fine.
He's going to read the next issue of Wonder Woman, get a paper cut, and bleed out. And he's like,
that be
Steve Trevor
right
kills
now?
You, man.
So Chris
Steve Trevor.
Chris Pine is playing Steve Trevor in the movie. So we could have Chris Pine just fight you.
I could take Chris Pine.
You couldn't?
Yeah, I could.
No, you couldn't?
Yeah.
He would come at you with so many clasped hand shoulder chops.
Shoulder chops.
True. Flips without a shirt on. He'd be channeling Shatner all day long.
Is that what he does? He channels?
And Sabotage would be playing in the background.
I mean, he doesn't do his own thing. He channels Shatner.
He does, but you know, he would.
I mean, seriously, though, if you're going to play that part, you have to channel Shatner in it, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I like the stuff with...
You could take Chris
die
Pine.
From a paper cut. This is going to be your fault, Matt.
You would go to take a pine tree with a chainsaw.
It's with a chainsaw, yeah. Anybody can take a pine tree with a chainsaw. That one went off the rails.
It really did, yeah.
You led this, Pat.
Although, with his luck, the pine tree that he took out with the chainsaw would fall on him and kill him anyway.
But the pine tree died in the end. I mean, it's been cut down.
Yeah, but
so
someone can still
lost.
Take it and make it a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
So it's still dead.
They're not going to put you in their living room.
Or maybe they would.
Would you put Adam in your living room?
Like a stuffed Adam? Maybe.
No.
That no?
Went dark. That went creepy dark.
And so anyways, yeah, he has the beard now and he looks older.
You're supposed to be a leader of this podcast.
I didn't read the book, and then you guys went so off the rails on watching the baseball game.
I think they did a good job of showing the relationship they have there without making it cheesy. Like, yeah. I felt like it all worked. It all worked well. And I loved whenever she was taking Barbara Minerva shopping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the, mall just got overrun with people wanting to, see Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And when she came out, all those little Easter eggs.
Yeah, all
throughout
the
double
the
page
Wonder
spread.
Woman,
yeah,
writers and stuff like that.
Writers yeah. and artists, and yeah, that was really cool.
I like
and
Joel Thompson. It was called Jay Thompson.
Yeah.
Up top. Yeah.
And that scene was referenced in that interview. That was done, the mock interview was done in the 75th anniversary special.
Oh,
well,
okay.
That's cool, yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
Detective.
It was good.
Yeah.
I liked seeing the return of Harper Row.
Yes, yeah.
And I like to see what she's doing now.
Well, I like that relationship kind of with her and Spoiler,
mm-hmm.
because it was,
yeah.
you know, not, it was... I guess strange is not even the right word, but
yeah.
like there was kind of a tension between them, and you know, certainly they've worked their way through
yeah.
it. I'll tell you what I really thought was just a super dickish move, though, with Orphan and Clayface fighting in the mud room. Give us the biggest monster you can, and it was Clayface.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that's messed up.
But in a way, it kind of makes sense. I mean, the whole machine is based on Clayface.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who would be the big monster in it?
I get
you're like, how much clay can you throw at us? What are you going to throw at us? A clay monster? You know?
Well, no, but I mean, you know, he's part of the team, and that's not a good way to team build.
Yeah, that you got a point there because they did program the machine,
it's
so maybe they could have programmed
it's
it.
It's essentially
like,
saying that you were the biggest badass.
Yeah,
that we have.
You should be like, yeah,
right. But
cool.
The guy, you know, he already has
kind of proved how powerful Clayface is, though, because that was crazy. That's
oh yeah,
big.
Yeah.
How much clay does he have in him?
Yeah,
how does he get that big? How does he control like an entire machine though? Because that's all him, right? Or is it based on, like, his clay? Or
no, I think it's based on his clay. It's not
so
him.
So he's not actually doing it.
Yeah, but I don't think it's like, you know, a T-1000 where it will all merge back into him if it gets separated.
It's like he has to be there in order to do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's like that, but maybe it is.
It's kind of cool that they have a danger room. I almost wish it was, like, more holograms and stuff like that
yeah.
instead.
Yeah.
Not, like, clay.
Yeah, and I really did not quite catch what was going on with the victim syndicate at the end. They were at a party, and the victim syndicate shows up. And
you mean why they showed up?
Yeah. I don't know. I must have missed something somewhere with that.
I don't know. I don't remember what they're after exactly. I don't think they've really said. They just kind of are there.
Okay.
I don't think they really gave us, like, what their mission is.
Why they were there. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like they were after Fox, but I don't know if they were really after him either. They just kind of showed up, and he was there.
I think they're after anyone who has had ties with
Batman.
Yeah.
Because
they're really trying
to Batman is the biggest villain in Gotham.
Well, but they... Yeah, because, I mean, they said something to the effect, if you're a villain or if you're Batman or any of his allies were after you, and it wasn't
yeah,
exactly
they
word,
consider themselves
like
victims
that.
Of the Batman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the... You remember that group they had a while back with the guy like had a Batman's boot imprinted into his face and the one with the like batarang in his head? Do you remember that group?
No.
They had a group of villains that like they were all out to get Batman mainly because he kind of ruined their lives by like damaging them because they were
by
kind
being
of
Batman.
Victims. And I almost feel like these are the same guys, but just that it's like the same team but a new
version
new
of it.
New bunch of them, yeah.
it's like the Royal Flush gang.
Yeah.
It's every few years totally different.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Speaking of Royal Flush gang, didn't one of the books, like, totally end all of them? Was that All-Star Batman?
Yes, I think so.
Well, that was awful. Like, and it was the future, it was the Batman Beyond Royal Flush gang, too. That was interesting, because they used the future Royal Flush gang, because... I think it's 10. 10 was the one that dated Terry McGinnis. She was in that whole group. So that's what they used for that
Well, that's right, yeah.
That book.
That's
yeah,
right.
One of them is an android. That's Ace. Ace is an android. He's the big guy.
What's
that? Yeah. You have to go look at that. Yeah, he's
okay.
An android. The rest of them are...
Okay, it's been a while since I've seen Batman Beyond.
One was like the father, one was the mother.
Yeah,
the
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, but the one wasn't related. He was like a robot or something.
When you first said Ace, so I was thinking of the other one with...
that one, yeah.
Yeah, Joker's Wild, and then in Justice League Unlimited where she dies.
Yeah, that was a sad episode.
Where you find out that Terry McGinnis is a clone of Bruce Wayne.
That's when you find that out. And why? Why Amanda Waller did that? Well, it was a mixture of both of them. Oh, no, it was her. It was straight up her.
Yeah, it was her.
Yeah.
And then she was going to get Phantasm to kill his parents, and then Phantasm was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Nah. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. But, it was a good issue. I liked this whole team thing, but it kind of reminds me of how Batman used to be, where it was all about the family.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the characters that has, like, the biggest family. But he's one of the characters that's just like...
I work alone. Except for, the four Robins.
Yeah, except for all these Robins. I pick up these girls to do this. And then,
got Alfred back at the cave.
I mean, I got a zoo with the cave. I mean, that's Damien's, but... They're all basically named after me or something involving the family. It was a good issue, though. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I want to see where it goes.
And then Action Comics.
I liked it. I really liked it.
I didn't read it yet.
I'm not as big a fan of Action as I am Superman.
Especially after today's Superman. But.
Well, I haven't read today's Superman yet, but I heard it was very good.
Yeah.
But the... So Lois Lane meets Superwoman, who obviously has questions about who all these people are and kind of where they fit in this universe.
Yeah, and if you're reading Superwoman, it's Lana Lang.
Yeah, Lana Lang.
A Superwoman.
Right.
It's continuing off of what basically in the last issue, Lois is investigating going into her doppelganger's life.
Right. Her doppelganger, the new 52 Lois, who is supposed to be writing a book in tribute to the new 52 Superman.
Yeah. And she perishes, if you're reading Superwoman. She somehow dies the same way as Superman, where they somehow, her and Lana, absorb the solar flare. And it kills Lois, but she still has these powers, and she's worried that it's going to affect her. But Lois goes to her doppelganger's apartment and meets Superwoman there, and Superwoman's questioning, "Well, who are you? Because I saw Lois die," and she tries to explain to her, this is what it is, and finally, Superman hears that and John answers the phone, and it's like, oh, Mom's in trouble, and he goes straight to there, and they talk it out, talk about what's going on. So I think all the players in this are kind of there now that, we're learning something's happening here. We have they already were wondering about why there's a Clark Kent who's not a Superman.
Yes.
Where he came from. So why does, what happened to Lois from New 52 Earth, and what happened to Superman, and, is something going to happen to anybody else? And it's just all these questions are up, and they're starting to learn more about what's happening here. So it kind of sets the direction, I think.
Yeah.
For the next, for this book. But I think it has an interesting story going on. It's kind of like, I think they have, like, Batman and Detective and Superman and Action kind of have that same feel where there's a big story going on in Detective. And there's a big story going on in Action. But there's a smaller story going on in Batman and Superman. But it's not bad. It's just, it's not as in-depth. Like, there's mysteries going on in Action or something like that. Or in Detective, there's a bigger threat in Action. And I think that's what they're doing with that book. And then Batman's going to be kind of the standalone Batman book, where Superman is more the Superman and Son book.
Yeah.
So I like how they have a reason for each of these books. They're not just, okay, we have two Batman books. No, there's a reason why we have two Batman books. But I've enjoyed Action. It's just we don't really know what's happening so far. Where Superman has had one and done's, or with the last two issues of Superman were
Through Ireland. And it was just two issues.
It was a fun book, but it was short, and I'm fine with that if it's a fun story to read.
Well, that's the thing. They've now essentially gotten through three stories.
Yeah.
You had the first arc,
and they're not long.
No.
They're not long arcs. And that just proves that you can do that.
You don't have to write for trade.
Yeah. But I've liked it, though. I've liked action, which is surprising, because, like, I was surprised that, like, Superman, I didn't know I'd like action as well. So I think
you're wearing the Superman shirt.
Both, well, yeah, just for this. I was Superman so happy with what I read today. Yeah.
Well, that's all I read, so.
All right. First one I want to talk about is Birthright number 20. This book, I've really liked it. I think it's just a fun, kind of a fantasy story, but it takes place, there's two worlds. There's our world, and then there's this fantasy, world with dragons and all sorts of stuff. And stuff just pouring into our world. And that's basically what this is about, is this issue kind of gives you the plan of the bad guy, the main antagonist and hero, whose name is Lore. And you learn Data's brother. You learn a little bit more about Lore and how his relationship with characters that we've already known and what he looks like. And, we haven't had that at all. So this kind of set us on a path here where the story is going a little more. Basically, the antagonist's plan is to invade Earth. He's done with this world. He's ready to go in, but he wants to figure out how everybody else is getting into Earth and hiding there. And previous issues, they showed that these sorcerers that our main character, this chosen one, is chasing down. They kind of sealed off this world and hid here. So basically, that world would just, they couldn't save it. So they kind of left it the way it was, came back and sealed this one off so they can't come into it. Well, it doesn't work as planned, and he's wanting through. So it's a fun book. I really recommend reading it in trade. I think a lot of people will enjoy this book. It's Joshua Williamson, who's doing The Flash now. It is. It's really fun. Future Quest number 6. This book, it's not moving at all, and we've talked about it.
I dropped it. It was getting too boring.
This issue had to be the better of all of them, but it's a little too late. You know what I mean? It's just,
you needed to pace this more. So.
But it needed to move on by now with this story. Truthfully, we haven't even learned anything about the bad guy in this. Who are we fighting? The Space Ghost appeared in this issue issues ago.
I think the problem, it's a big concept book, and they want to add a whole bunch of characters, but that's the problem.
I don't think they know what they want to do with all those characters.
Yeah.
And every book they have is an introduction to a new character. And it's just like, yeah, but how many issues of this are we going to have? Come on, move on with the story.
Well, but even
build
there,
it up while you're introducing characters.
You know,
do two things.
People complained some of the Marvel movies, Age of Ultron. Well, there were so many characters, they didn't have anything to do. Well, that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
You have, 30 pages, and you have 30 characters. So really, what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's just, I don't think, certain people cannot write big stories with a lot of characters. Geoff Johns can. This guy cannot. The art in this book is really nice. I really like the art in it, but this book is
looks like the characters we know from TV.
Yeah, and they picked a good artist on this book, but I think that was like their main focus.
Yeah.
I don't think story was, and that's a problem. Generation Zero. This was a fun issue.
It was.
I really like this issue. You'll have to help me with characters, because I know
Dave,
you remember
like
some of
issue.
These characters. Yeah, you would have liked this issue of Generation Zero. So, in the previous issue, they kidnap one of the girls that, lives in this town. She's one of the higher-ups. She's kind of the bully, and, she's really popular, head of everything, kind of deal. They kidnap her, and they're trying to learn more about her, so they go into her head. And her head looks like Archie. It's the Archie comic.
Oh,
so basically, this issue was drawn like an Archie comic.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So everything happening in it, you know, to her, all of her things. And just reading.
Like goofy and innocent-wise? Or?
Yes. Okay. Very goofy, but even while you're reading it, you're like, she's still horrible. She's a horrible human being, even drawn as an Archie character.
She's a bit more sympathetic, though, when you see inside of her head.
She is a little bit, but certain things, like she wants to win this, or she reminds me of that character on a Good Place, The Good Place. That the one everybody hates on there. Yeah.
Kristen Bell's character, yeah.
No, the other woman. Okay. Who's always like, oh, I want to help everybody, but then in a way she's just like, well, I hate this person, you know? That's who she's kind of like. You start to learn a little bit just by seeing in her head, though, of what she knows about, like, what was going on with the whole mystery, which is, in this book, it's, you know, what happened to this girl's boyfriend, what's going on in this town. So it was really fun. Just written, it, you know, what I really like about this, this book reminds me a lot of how he was doing Archer and Armstrong. And I think this was a good choice for me because I liked Archer and Armstrong so much when Fred Van Lente was writing it. And I like it now, but it's still a different feel.
Yeah.
Just the bad guys are so weird that they go up against. You know, they're these, I think they're called Cornermen?
Cornermen.
And basically they can only come out of an angle. So they're able to escape them by going into a roller rink, which is in a circle. So they can't get in. So they can break in because they're all outside, but they can't, like, teleport themselves in.
Yeah.
Unless there's an angle. I don't know. It's just, it is. It's a fun book. I've really enjoyed it. It had a Harbinger Renegades preview in the back, which a lot of them have.
Those have been in all the issues.
But this book and those have really made me interested in picking up Harbinger Renegades, which I guess is the next... No, Savage is the next one to come out of the new one, and I think Harbinger.
I think Harbinger's next.
You think it is? I'm not sure.
Comes out on the 16th. There's a sign on Colin's computer. Yeah.
There's a bigger preview of Harbinger 1 in Faith today.
Okay. But it was fun. It really was. But that's it. Okay. Colin?
That's it? Holy cow.
Do you want to keep going?
It's
almost 9:30.
No. We can go. We're just shocked how fast we're done.
We're that good, Colin.
We are. Well, we just didn't have a lot to talk. We have Archer and Armstrong number 9.
Yay.
Action Comics, 967. We got all new X-Men, All-Star Batman, Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows, number 1.
It's amazing.
Avengers 1.1, Now, which is funny because they call it Now when actually it takes place way back when it was Cap's Kooky Quartet back in, like, the teens issues of Avengers.
Yeah, but Avengers 1.1 then doesn't sound quite...
True. Fair enough. But it would have been more accurate.
It doesn't pop.
Okay. Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, Batman TMNT Adventures, number 1 is next week.
You never answered my question on that.
What?
If you carry over the people from the old, they got the other Batman TMNT.
Yeah.
You did? Okay.
Betty and Veronica, number 2, I know you guys have been waiting for that, it was due out in August. Black, number 2, that's from Black Mask. Cannibal, number 2, that's an Image one. Captain America, Steve Rogers, number 7. Clone Conspiracy, number 2. Deathstroke, number 6. Detective, 944. Doom Patrol, number 3. Flash, number 10. Glitter Bomb, number 3. Green Valley, another Image one, number 2. Gwenpool, number 8. Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns, number 8. Invincible Iron Man, number 1, starring Ironheart, Riri, Adam's favorite. The Claw... Claws, okay? Hardcover, yes. Lost Boys, number 2, just for Josh. Mega Princess, number 1. I believe this is a Boom one. I'm not 100% sure.
You mean you only got one for Josh?
No. Of what?
Of Lost Boys.
No.
That doesn't seem like a good business practice.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
Mosaic, number 2, which is fun because they upped my order to make it equal to what I got in of number 1, which is going to be great because I have a whole bunch of number 1s left, so that means I'm going to have a whole bunch of number 2s left.
Yeah, they're all number 2s.
Yeah, right?
That's not concerning at all.
What?
That's not concerning at all.
No, not at all. Mother Panic, number 1, the next one from... Awesome.
And the last one, really.
Young Animal. Yeah, so far. Namesake, number 1. I think that is a Boom one. Power Man and Iron Fist, number 10 now, which means it's going to have a great big number 1 on the cover.
And a great big number 2 in the middle.
Oh!
Scooby Apocalypse number 7. Shipwreck number 2, that's from Aftershock.
Is that G.I. Joe book?
Is not. Solo number...
about Shipwreck.
Solo number 2. They didn't up my order on that one. Star Wars Force Awakens adaptation number 6, wrapping it up. Star Wars Poe Dameron number 8. Supergirl number 3. Superwoman number 4. The Forevers number 2, that's another Black Mask one. The Mummy... number 1. It says Hammer, so for, I'm guessing it's the Hammer Films version. Uncanny Avengers number 16 and Uncanny X-Men number 15. We got Violent Love. This is a new one from Image, which gets has the little bit of a feel of...
Rapey?
No, what's the one with... it was Woody Harrelson and the girl... The Natural Born Killers.
Yeah.
Has a little feel of that. Wonder Woman number 10, and then WWE Then, Now, Forever. Dun, dun, dun. I know that one's from Boom. So that's all I got. This month's special, which I do need to change the month. I changed the title, but is we're doing double points on Avengers since there's so many new Avengers books coming out this month. I figured we could revisit... the old, and see what came before. So, double points on all Avengers books. Also, in a couple weeks, on the 19th, Saturday the 19th, is local comic shop day, where we're going to have a bunch of exclusive books that you can only get in actual physical stores. Who signed up for this? You can't
are
get them online.
Are you an actual physical store?
I am a actual physical store, and Matrix? I did sign up for this, so I'm a participating shop.
Really?
I'm going to have
even though
the books.
You're going to pay like $50?
Yeah. Yep, it's and horrible. I know it's okay, but $50? Lots of stuff. Just FedEx. To give you an idea here,
some shops wouldn't do that.
No, I'll give you the FedEx. They are just half-assing it.
I wasn't talking about that shop.
Okay, some of the books coming out are Archie Meets the Ramones special, a Black Hood season 2 number 1 special, a DC Bombshells Killer Frost statue that's got special sparkle paint on it, which is kind of neat to make it look a little more snowy.
You
got to
be event refrigerator.
Disciples hardcover, that's a Black Mask. Doctor Strange the Oath exclusive hardcover with Doctor Strange coming. Dollface number 1, God Killer deluxe item, which is also a Black Mask, and a God Killer secret item. I don't even know what it is.
Secret.
I know, it's a secret.
That's what they said.
Invader Zim again, Kim and Kim number 1, a Klaus... or Claws, local comic shop exclusive hardcover. Sadly, I'm only getting one of those. That's all I could get. Lost in Space special Vinnie Mates.
Lost in Space?
Lost in Space.
Okay, I thought you said Lost in Space.
Lost in Space.
Well, I mean, with some of the stuff that comes in.
Injured.
It says it itself when you open it.
An exclusive Lion Cat statue. Moonshine number 1, which I'm sold out of, but now I have 20 copies of
that
this.
That was really good.
I thought so, too. It's got the Frank Miller black and white exclusive cover, so I have those coming in. First prints. Now Champions number 1, which is kind of cool because I'm sold out, so I have those coming in. Special Outcast hardcover. Rick and Morty Treasury. Rough Riders Nation, a new number 1.
Oh.
Serenity, No Power in the Verse special cover. The Forever secret item, The Tick. It's getting a special. Transformers Revolution, Warhammer 4000, and a WWE limited bundle, which is kind of neat because the new WWE has 6 covers plus a 7th, which is a special one. So this WWE bundle is going to be all the covers plus some exclusive covers and stuff. So it's a
you
whole
a
bunch
belt?
Of books. I don't think you get a belt. But yeah, it's a $50 item,
so
but it's supposed to be pretty cool.
In
so
for a local comic shop
that day. Is all coming in for local comic shop day.
Whoa!
So we'll make something big. Last year it was the Saturday after Thanksgiving, because their attitude was, well, people are already out shopping, and it was Small Business Saturday, and they're like, people are out, they already have their wallets open, you know, they're more apt. We're like, how about a different day? So just because that's kind of a big weekend anyway, and
yeah,
our promotion kind of got lost.
Yeah.
So we're doing it the week before, so kind of preempting Black Friday. So we'll make it a big to-do here. It's scary how fast this stuff comes, because it's like you gear up towards Halloween, kind of the Halloween party, all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're three, 4 weeks
Friday.
From Black Friday, 8 weeks till Christmas. It's like, all of a sudden, panic sets in. Where
4 weeks are out of a job.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh,
that
no.
happens to some people, but it's
damn.
Okay. There,
and that's
Dave,
a podcast.
There's lots of work.
That's how I feel.
There's lots of work to do here, so.
Do you already have the attitude? What are you
no,
gonna
but
do,
he could hang out and help around the store like that.
Nice.
That's how
I love when he gets to that
yeah.
point.
I'm like, I'm pretty much almost there, yeah.
But
I remember my company got sold. I was taking like 2-hour lunches and come in here. And I'm like, what are you going to do, fire me? They're already doing it.
So where can they find you, Colin?
They can
they
find me
to.
Here at the store. That's
I
the
mean,
only place you can
it.
Find me.
Well, what if social media, like, I wanted to contact
social
you?
Media,
you
well...
social media?
What if
no,
he was on the interwebs?
If he was on the internet, he could find me at www.pittsburghcomics.com or Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter at PGH Comics, same with Instagram that I got to get back on. I was doing really good with the Vertigo month, posting a different Vertigo book every day. Ah, don't show me that. That was scary.
Is it a Boundless cover?
No, it was Hillary.
Yeah, that definitely should not be.
And so I got to get back into that. I got a little. I don't want to say lazy. I just
back in the Boundless.
No, posting stuff on Instagram. This like we're doing the TV show tomorrow, and I got to get all the prep done tonight because I'm like, holy crap, because we had. The Saturday was the Christmas party. Sunday we had all the family over for like all day.
You had a Christmas party on Saturday?
Not a Halloween party. And then Monday was actually Halloween, so I was home, you know, doing that with the kids. And it's just like, this weekend just flew through. What?
You can start with Avengers Disassembled.
There we go. Okay, I'll put that up tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Okay. So,
what if they want to? Like have dinner with you and your family. Where can they find you at home?
No. No. No.
You're gonna have that event like have dinner with Colin. It'll be like
we'll
contest. There you go. Yeah,
we'll do a raffle. It'll be $50 a ticket.
Nobody's gonna pay $50.
I know
to eat dinner
exactly. That's kind
actually,
of the point.
No, I think someone will because you'll make it really awkward and like. Just watch chaos ensue.
Well, you'll make it. He'll make it like a date. Like, that the awkwardness.
Okay. Well, we're not doing that.
Gross.
So
that's a podcast.
We will talk to you next week. Hopefully, we'll all have read a little more. And we'll have a little more news.
Hey,
and
hey,
I'll be a little more prepared.
That's a podcast.
See ya.